Levels.
You need me to project more, or are you good?
I feel like I'm projecting.
Only your emotions.
Yes. Wouldn't be the first time I've heard that.
There's your cold open.
Hey guys, JC Sense here, obviously with Stephen Burke of Gamers Nexus. So I just kind of wanted to have a chat about Computex this year versus previous years, because I've mentioned it before. I haven't been in 8 years.
Yeah.
I haven't been since 2018. 2018 was kind of like the golden era, I think, of PC. And so we're just going to kind of chat about it. Probably some touchy topics too, I think. But I mean, everything's touchy these days.
Yeah.
So, first things first. This year, obviously, AI together. I mean, the second I saw that, I wanted to just revoke my registration. But we knew that was going to be the thing, right?
Yeah, we did. And I mean, I think the thing too is like, Computex at a macro scale, it's a trade show. And so that means like, for consumers and for viewers, normally the way you kind of interact with Computex is seeing cool new stuff, mm-hmm. and hopefully maybe some engineering product managers. But it is also an indicator of where the industry is going. And normally we kind of get a feel for what the direction is for the next 6 to 12 months of PC DIY and PC gaming hardware from Computex. But it is definitely, AI has forced out companies from the consumer part of the show.
Yeah, because so a lot of people maybe don't know, there are a couple of major hotels, some smaller ones too, that have suites, but like the Grand Hyatt, the Grand Helai, that's a convention center, which is out in Nanjing, and then there's obviously here at like Taipei 101. A lot of the companies spread out and do suites and stuff, but the show floor used to be like a lot of PC stuff. I remember walking around and it was just PC and then whatever maybe was emerging, like 1 year was like a lot of drones or stuff like that. But now they're kind of all pushed out of the show floors into suites and such. Or they're starting to use their own headquarters here because it's just, why pay money when they're being pushed off the floor?
Yeah, I mean, some of the companies like Silverstone was literally forced out of the show floor.
And they've been there, what, 20 years?
20 years. They've been there every year.
You'd think you'd have some, you know, tenure at that point.
Some seniority. And they have cool consumer products. You know, like they have workstation stuff too. They have server cases. You'd think they'd be kind of like AI enough, you know, but they weren't. And so it really is sort of just this like miniature representation of the greater hardware space, right? Like at a micro scale, we're seeing consumer first companies are being pushed out by AI companies, where fewer companies are getting more of the floor space, and that leaves less for consumer companies.
Right.
And that, if you expand that out, that is exactly what we're feeling in PC DIY.
But that's the thing, is what we're, the amount of excitement around the AI though, like from the attendees here, right? But that's mostly business to business type
B2B.
Of attendees.
I think there's gonna be some long-term ramifications that the Computex organizers maybe don't quite see yet, where like if some media or some hardware companies next year decide, you know what, fuck it, like it's just, they don't care about us, they might not go, and that's gonna start a downtrend for attendance.
I guess it depends though on how much AI grows in that time frame too, though, because if they can just fill that slot and potentially even charge more, you know, then as an organization, Computex is going to go the most profitable route.
To me, it feels like almost impure or tainted, where it's like the consumer side, obviously, yes, they want to make money. Yeah. But like we know the same people at these companies, and a lot of the actual people who work there want to make cool products.
Yeah.
They want to do cool things.
Yeah.
And that gets pushed out by the AI side, where the AI side feels like it is purely money driven to me.
Oh yeah.
And that makes it feel like just corrupted, you know? Like,
oh yeah, absolutely. And it's just sad to see every company right now just trying so hard to have something to show that's exciting. And most of the stuff that was like really early preview in CES that usually we see kind of fully developed by Computex, mm-hmm. is just, it's been axed, it's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to talk about Jensen for a moment.
My best friend.
Your best friend.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this first.
Love him. Great guy.
Do you feel that there's a separation of like, okay, NVIDIA on the gaming side still trying to do some cool stuff is totally separate from the leadership that is absolutely destroying what the image is?
I think I'm trying to filter what I should versus what I shouldn't say.
I said touchy topics, right?
Well, and the only reason I'm filtering it is because I'm trying to not get people in trouble, right?
Yeah.
Who've told
me. Yeah, because there's information we have too that just can't say it because it'll lead right back.
Yeah, exactly. I'll say this: there was one instance of speaking with someone from NVIDIA where I'm going to use passive voice so I can avoid getting anyone in trouble. But someone said to me, that the gaming side, especially at the lower end, they're like, oh yeah, we're seeing, you know, reduced GPU sales at the lower end, and we understand that gamers are affected by this, and unfortunately it's a VRAM limitation, and we just can't get enough VRAM. You know, and I was like, the call is coming from inside of the house.
You can get the VRAM, it's just going somewhere else.
Yeah, it's like you guys can't talk about how there's not enough VRAM or how the prices are high.
But that division can talk about them not being allocated.
Yeah, but it just seemed like this total lack of awareness, you know, like it's tone deaf, I guess, is what it comes back to. Because from a consumer standpoint, I don't fucking care if it's the AI group or the gaming group. I just care that I'm getting screwed, right, as a consumer.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone thinks any differently.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It's just, if AI was just annoying, like RGB marketing for years, then I think people would be like, okay, yeah, AI is annoying, but RGB didn't affect the industry in a negative way.
It didn't, destroy things.
Even crypto didn't hurt it this much.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And that was a slow burn, whereas this was 6 months. We've never seen anything like this fast.
Yeah.
So, but I ask that because I feel like some of the engineers and such I got to talk to truly feel passionate about what they're doing. They feel like they're still able to do cool things. But again, it's like how much of that really is the focus, you know?
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, edge computing being 7 billion versus 80 billion or 73 billion.
Yeah, I think you're going to see on Jensen's side, he made a comment in his keynote where he was like, I think he said something like, gaming is the closest to our hearts or something like that.
That's a little disconnected from reality.
It's just so not true.
It's almost like, what do I have to say to make people think this?
Right.
Not what do I actually believe what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it was kind of a throwaway line. But
this is the same guy that will ask if anyone wants, you know, him to sign your wallet, and then he'll take money out of it and give it to people and call you poor and then think it's funny. Whether he gives the money back at the end, which he does, he'll take a dollar out of his own wallet or whatever it is and give it back to you. But the point is, he still roasted you in front of everyone. Like, that's, I mean, I can't, it's still...
Real story, by the way. He did actually call somebody poor after opening their wallet.
More than one person, actually.
Yeah.
Because he did that to the you know, person we know.
He did it in Chinese also to someone in the, you know, Taiwanese media.
I just, okay, let's talk about the optics of being a
$200 billion net worth. And
of his own net worth and a multi-trillion dollar company walking around calling people poor. Like, it's just, I can't...
Is the question... Are the optics good?
No, we know the optics are bad. It's obviously just his non, you know, ability to read that room, you know?
Well, he's changed a lot. I mean, I've met him in the past.
Celebrity CEOs always ascend into just grossness, you know?
When it's the public company, I think, is really the key there, right? Like, it's as soon as it goes public, it just seems like morality goes out the window.
Yeah.
Maybe even if the leadership does want to maintain that, they can't, because at some point you don't own enough of the company, and the shareholders own the majority, and they tell you.
And the shareholders just want whatever the results are. They don't care how they're getting them.
Right.
I mean, like, for instance, the fact that he can pump a stock, like just mentioning Marvel, was crazy.
Yeah.
Just calling it the next $1 trillion company, and then it bumps 40% overnight. It's like, okay, this is danger territory.
The chosen one. Yeah.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is, you know, stocks like that, and we're getting really off topic, but stocks like that will pump, and then people will have like investment remorse, and then they'll drop it, or those that were already in will drop it, and then it starts a buying selling frenzy, and we can talk about stocks all day, but it's just, okay, you know, I think it's a little dangerous when one sentence on a stage can affect a stock that much.
Oh yeah, I mean, of course they have
not your own company.
They have so much power, Nvidia, and. It's what we've been talking for years on the gaming side about how it's monopolized.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing the effects of that monopoly. So it's like, if ever there's any question of our monopoly is bad, this is exactly why it's a problem, right? And it starts to affect other industries. And now NVIDIA's at a point where they don't need accountants. They need economists to work for them, because they affect the global economy.
And they can kind of get away with whatever they want right now because they've established an oligarchy status.
Yeah.
That's the other problem. Yeah. You know, it's just, I don't feel like big companies should be involved in politics, you know, especially at a lobbying level. But now we're going into the hot springs I don't normally step into.
I mean, I don't
mind. At least
not
on camera. I talk about it all the time in person, but I just, personally, I'm like, okay, I'm not an expert in that topic, therefore I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Although I talk about a lot of shit I don't know. But, okay, so just wanted to clarify, like, I was like, oh my God, Jensen's living rent-free in your head a lot lately. But then this week, I was like, okay. All right, enough.
He's probably the most influential. He's definitely the most influential person in technology.
Yeah, and especially in Taiwan. He's like Matt, he's practically the president when he's here.
Yeah, he's has enormous power here.
Yeah.
He has enormous power with the
NVIDIA
government.
Logos on pretty much every booth.
And it's like, this is you. Yeah, I mean, you can either be ignorant to it, I guess, or you can pay attention or whatever. But at the end of the day, the decisions from NVIDIA ripple and affect now everybody.
Yeah.
And so,
it's true.
Yeah, so on consumer side, it starts to become a problem where it's maybe not even a doom and gloom or whatever about consumer technology and PC gaming. Like, this is a wider personal computing problem, especially as the AI companies and the LLMs. I mean, I don't know if you saw, there's a new, I won't go too deep into this for your sake unless you want to, but there's a new executive order where the LLM model makers are being requested to basically submit that to the government for approval first before release. And
okay.
And so all these companies are working together, right? And it's just, it's...
Wow, we that, have that's them, a... that's a.
It's terrifying.
That's a rabbit hole.
It's terrifying.
Within a hole.
Yeah. So I think...
Well, like, for instance, I know he's watching, but I had a police department reach out to me asking if we had any old tech we might donate to them so they could start putting together a lot of their AI investigation tools. And I went, I don't trust AI in law enforcement. There have been far too many, you know, facial recognition false positives that have led to, like, real problems for citizens getting arrested and sitting in jail cell for a couple days.
Right.
And then when it's like, when they finally realize their mistake, they're just like, oh, sorry. And then
it's a burden on the taxpayers because then you pay for the settlement. For
here's the crazy right? part about that, though. Depending on the jurisdiction, a lot of times that arrest record stays on file.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's nothing came of it, it still stays on file. That shows up in hiring background checks. And it's a big problem. So
you're
I said,
getting
I don't
into
trust
my
this.
Favorite topic, which is global surveillance.
Oh, yeah.
It's the new.
Well, you saw the military drone over there, right?
No,
up in the convention center, there's a military drone over there.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Great. That's good. I'm glad this is at Computex, which used to be a consumer hardware show.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you mean you're not in business in the market for your own EV surveillance?
Not yet. You know, maybe once I get to the first couple $1 billion, we'll start considering it.
First couple, so we know what the limits are.
Well, the first billion, that's when I'm going to start the AI factory, right?
Can you do that with $1 billion today, though?
He did say, Jensen did say, you just need $1 billion or some reasonable fund. That's what
you
can
raise those funds on your $10,000 gaming station that he said everyone has too.
For just $1 per month, you can contribute to the Jay's 2 cents and Gamers Nexus fund for an AI factory. We're gonna make puppy and cat images.
I can't wait till the fallout happens. That's gonna be the battle of the century, because that's the thing. At some point, we're gonna have a different direction, and then it's just gonna turn ugly.
We're gonna need Wendell at this point, because now we're getting into like underground bunker territory. We need him to help us radio frequency proof it.
He'll become our overlord.
Do you have any tinfoil hats with you this trip, or did you?
I have rolls of tinfoil.
Really? Okay. All right. I know what we're doing after this shoot.
Okay. So enough about that. Previous years I've missed. Like, what was last year like?
Last year was great, actually. So we've historically been pretty positive on Computex, even when I've heard other companies or media say that they thought it was a boring show or something. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, it's like we have a wide enough coverage scope with cases, coolers, we'll do motherboards, stuff like that. There's always something to cover. It's normally pretty exciting. If you look at our uploads for past years, it's just, there's a lot going on, mm-hmm. and it's really fun. So I think this year, it's, that interest is like, the products are cut in half, at least for a lot of these companies. They just don't have it. They don't have the funds to take big risks and launch crazy concepts right now.
Right.
You know, you see height slimming down to like a $100 case.
And dropping Nexus Link entirely. Yeah. I think that was a good move. No matter what the economy was, I don't like proprietary plugs.
No, I mean, they're awful. Yeah. Yeah, but like past years, they've all been pretty good, honestly. Like, there's been years where it's been slower, but it's always been worth coming, and there's always cool stuff.
What I miss is when there used to be just, the showroom floor was everybody, right? Mm-hmm. All the main players, all the small players, everything in between. And then they would always hire these modders to build cool stations to display. And I used to do I remember in 17 and 18, I just did a walk around of like, let's check out the coolest systems on the floor. Like, there was only one area I really got to do that.
Yeah, G-Skill kind of has that,
But even like the builds that are in people's booths are super basic. Usually they would like showcase high-end hardware because it's fun to do that, but I'm seeing like low-end GPUs everywhere and RAM that, you know, is from brands I've never heard of, because that's the only thing they can source.
It. Yeah, I think I have heard some of the people we work with in the industry have made comments about, well, maybe if you try to find a positive out of this, maybe it goes back to some roots of like more hardcore enthusiast type of.
Yeah.
And that's good and bad, right? Like the good is you get some of that heart and soul back into it. The bad is we're potentially walking back like a decade of progress elsewhere, because now companies are going to slim down and cost cut.
It's a fine line between putting your head in the sand versus finding positivity.
There's some
positivity you can find out there. Like, for instance, hearing how some of these brands are trying to pivot. Like, for instance, I've always said Computex is like CaseCon too, you know? Mm-hmm. But seeing the fact that case pricing is getting way more aggressive than it used to be, you know, seeing, it's funny how we have the boutique brands are finding ways to make it cheaper.
Yeah.
While the SI ODMs like, you know, Montec and Gamdias and stuff are now finding ways to make more expensive cases, and it's working for them. So it's weird to see this intersect, you know, there.
Yeah, I think there's some short-term good for consumers in that things like case prices are coming down.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's so blown out by the RAM prices, right? So it's hard to appreciate it.
Because people are going, great, I saved $20 on a case, but I still dropping $400 on RAM.
And I think long term there's risk too, where a lot of these companies, they might not be able to make it through.
Yeah.
And if they can't, then you are gonna see that consolidation period. And at the end of consolidation, prices will go up, right? Yeah. And you have fewer companies.
Like seeing the trimming within height was shocking.
Yeah, I mean, Rob Teller is
height. We had just interviewed him right before that.
Yeah, he's like the guy, right? Yeah. So.
And to see the stuff they were showing that were his designs that obviously didn't come out, you know, that little area was kind of sad.
Yeah, and that's happening a lot in this industry. You know, there's other people who have left their jobs, and there's a lot who are leaving after the show immediately. Yeah. So, and I think that's something that's not really talked about is this is like a brain drain situation too, where some of this talent, it might not come back because some of these people might go,
go to different industries.
Exactly, because there's not a lot of jobs. Yeah. Right now, hiring for this kind of work.
Yeah, like you said, it could be a decade regression.
Yeah, which is a depressing topic, but
it's depressing. But if it also means ultimate survival of the industry, then
and
it's
it is
with the weather.
It is. It's just reality too. Yeah. You know, like it's important for people to be aware of reality. And I think the brain drain is one I'm really concerned about. That's not discussed, just because you're going to have people who have become experts, like someone like Rob Teller. He made the H440. He was a large part in popularizing the concept of a power supply shroud.
Yeah.
S340.
He's been in the industry over 20 years, right?
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah. And but people like him are exiting, and we might not get them back.
Because with that level of engineering knowledge, they can make a life for themselves in another industry.
For sure. And you also can't just like snap your fingers and know all that stuff.
Right.
Right. So, which is one of the reasons why we've been trying to put more of the engineers and the product managers on camera, this show in particular, because let's get some faces out there, I
think the audience too sometimes just thinks, oh, it's just a box, you know, just talking about a case, but I've been approached so many times by both brands and viewers saying, hey Jay, you should design a case. I'm like, it's way harder than you realize to make a box to put your stuff in,
especially right now.
Yeah, because a lot of these companies just pick from a tooling catalog in China, but companies like Height and Fantex and all that are truly doing, you know, tooling from the ground up for their cases, they're huge investments.
Yeah, for the most part, they'll do unique tooling. Yeah. Sometimes for a cheap case, they'll pull public tooling, basically. Yeah. But
or even like the EX6 and EX5 being completely different tooling.
You know,
that's like, okay, that's a huge risk, especially right now.
Right, yeah. You know,
the price is aggressively, I think it's good, it's fair. But again, I think a lot of people are really waiting to see, like, okay, what are the thermals really like? Like, what is the airflow really like?
Yeah.
There's going to be compromise, I think.
Tooling for that stuff is, is hundreds of thousands of dollars, too. So it's a big risk to take right now to do new tooling, because you got to sell thousands of units to bring that money back. And Cooler Master was on record with us saying that some of their stuff has dropped from 2,000 units per month down to hundreds of units per month.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Yeah, especially after they moved all that distribution to the U.S. side and then incurred all that cost.
Yeah, bad timing.
Yeah. So did anything excite you this year?
Some of the cases, for sure. I mean, the EX5, EX6, I really want to test.
Yeah.
The Liam Lee has some pretty cool stuff, actually. The information was exciting. Talking to the engineers, the product managers is exciting, you know. I think that's most of it for me. It's really just like let's get this knowledge from the industry out into the open, especially if some of these people might leave. Like, the best we can do is preserve the knowledge, right? Yeah. And get it to whoever takes up the spot.
Like I was telling you off camera, I got to have that engineering discussion with Asus's GPU team and power supply team. I didn't know they're the same design, they're the same engineering team,
yeah.
Which I guess makes sense, right? It's kind of like end-to-end, you know, coverage of that power distribution. But I wanted to, beforehand I had said I wanted to talk about the 9070 GRE and the fact that it's literally the same MSRP in the US for a product that it's trimmed down, it makes no sense. I wanted to ask, like, so what was that hand tie situation from AMD like? And of course, there's a lot of like not noticing I really asked that
kind of going on.
I think I understand why, but yeah, what a weird time right now. It's like to think that you can just release another product, existing product, in a new market a year later for the same price?
$350. I think technically, if you're talking about the 58X 3D.
No. I'm sorry, I'm talking about the 9070 GRE.
Oh, 9070 GRE. Okay, yeah.
You know, because you want a slower GPU with 4 gigs less RAM for the same price. Winning, you know?
Yeah, well, and also one that it's already been on the market and it's, you know, but...
Yeah, I mean, been on the market in China, not easily obtainable. Like yours, you bought it in China, right?
Yeah, you can get them on... That one was sent by Yestin, but yeah, you can buy it from AliExpress pretty easily.
Yeah, or even like forwarders. Mm-hmm. Forwarders will do that for you.
But it's the same point, which is like... We've run out of ideas and we're shipping stuff from a year ago.
Yeah, let's launch it again.
Yeah. You know. 58X 3D was pretty offensive, I think. $350.
What about extending AM5 life through 2030?
2029. I think that is a signal. That to me looks like a PR play.
And a slowdown?
I think it's a slowdown, yeah. I think it means Zen 6 is getting pushed into 2027, not end of 2026. That's my guess. I don't actually know for fact, but...
So you think there's some overlap in that timing? Then
I think they're pushing timing of other consumer products and preserving the platform a little longer is really their only option because they're gonna get, I don't know if they care about the backlash if they get called out on it for keeping their current roadmap and shipping fewer products, but
I feel like a lot of consumers will just look at that as like, look, yay, they're supporting us for longer, but I think there's deeper reasons why, like you said.
AMD at this point doesn't do things to help consumers.
No, like and I mean, I said that 6 months ago. Yeah. You know, AMD's not your friend, and I got beat up for it because they hadn't really shown.
I'll be honest, especially now that people are finally starting to see what AMD is, they're just another big company. Yeah. But yeah, over the years, our experience has also been if you criticize AMD at a launch, it is so much harder to deliver that message than it has been to deliver the NVIDIA message, where it requires like additional crafting on the language. You have to be careful to really explain yourself beforehand.
Because everyone can agree to hate NVIDIA. But, but when it comes to AMD, I feel like that for so many years, they were such the underdog that a lot of those diehard AMD fans really just kind of don't want to acknowledge the elephant in the room, which is that AMD has moved beyond them.
Yeah, and finally, I think people are starting to see that, which is probably for the greater good.
The last several AMD launches have just been lackluster in terms of views and such.
You know. Well, yeah, I mean, interest, right? Like price, they're going up. The advancement of the technology is in a lot of ways decreasing. Mm-hmm. And now they're launching prior products to capitalize on a situation where people are stranded on AM4 because they can't afford DDR5.
Yeah.
And so AMD can swoop in and get another $350 for a CPU that they've already, you know, paid off.
And it's praised as consumer support.
Yeah, fortunately that one, I think a lot of people saw through it, which is nice.
They're coming around. But on the AMD note, okay, I'll say it publicly here. Absolutely blacklisted, absolutely. Because I mean, Hub got a 9070 GRE, I got one, right? I never had one. I didn't try to buy one through the forwarding services or AliExpress or anything like that. But yeah, I mean.
They don't talk to us. Like they don't answer our questions. They don't, you know, so, which is fine, but. Yeah, it's ever since we...
But that's the thing. I just want to say, like, you know, right to reply. And when you give them the right to reply or the opportunity to reply and they don't, then you're just left to fill in the gaps.
Yeah, and that, I mean, they really, I think where it got touchy for AMD was typically our approach for that is if a company does something publicly, like AMD has been doing, I do not ask first. They've done.
Yeah, and publicly scrutinize.
And then as more information... comes to us normally through back channels. So we'll publish, okay, here's what AMD's done publicly. We're looking at public information. People start to send us leads and information, right? And then at that point, I'll take things I can't verify externally because it's come to us privately. And then I'll try to ask them about those things. And that's, they just didn't, they didn't reply. So it's like,
there's definitely some directive there that says anything Gamers Nexus related, don't reply.
Yeah.
Have you tried anonymous emailing too? Just to see?
No, I think it might also be politics. They might have just decided we're not going to reply to anything involving political decisions by AMD or whatever. Yeah. And, but you know, for us, it's like, yeah, if they've donated, if they've lobbied, if they've donated millions of dollars, if they're flying around with Trump, whatever, like, I'm not going to ask them about it.
Right. No,
I'm
just you don't have to. It's obvious. If there's evidence, it's right there.
Yeah, but it is. There are some things you can get some more detail, and it's just they do kind of leave you with no choice but to start to assume like, oh, okay, it is. So it starts to look like a bunch of collusion.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
Or like we refer to it as the tech oligarchy.
Yeah.
You know, that's what oligarchs are. These are billionaires, and they influence political decisions and stuff. And you know, that's not even a political like.
It's not a statement.
That's
true.
That's a true
it's
thing.
Just, yeah.
So, I mean, it's true in many countries, and now we're seeing it kind of really for the... Elon Musk was kind of like the first one
to really...
He was the most public one.
Yes.
And now it's clearly Jensen and Lisa Su.
Yeah.
You know, and any of these other, you know, AI, major AI brands, OpenAI, obviously.
Yeah, and so I think, I don't know if AMD will talk to us for future products. I don't really care too much on the product side, because, like, I can buy a CPU. Fortunately, our audience will
watch it. They'll wait for your coverage, you know, because, I mean, day zero is not, it's not what it used to be anyway for anyone. Because
right.
no one's running out on that day or the actual launch day to try and buy this stuff, you know, at least not the majority.
Unless
like,
it's
past.
Like a really killer part or something,
Yeah, when's the last time we had one of those?
Maybe
I mean, we have a killer part, but it's killing, you know, cables and stuff like that, but totally different type of killer part. All right. Well, I guess to wrap this up, though, I mean, we were talking about, like, future years, and it's kind of, like, starting to ask the question, like, is this worth coming to, you know?
For the first time ever, I'm asking that question, and the only reason I, the strongest reason for me to continue coming to Computex is because I love Taipei. Yeah. Relationships, for me, it's not even with the industry.
Yeah,
it's with the people I know here.
The
lady who works at the bakery, lady who works at the breakfast shop. That's the reason for me to come to Taipei at this point. And I love the show.
Yeah.
But if the show is going to force consumer companies out, I don't care to cover servers.
Yeah.
Servers
yeah.
don't interest me.
Yeah.
You know,
if the industry you care about is not present, why come?
Yeah, and so you know,
that's like you use cameras to make your livelihood, but you're not going to go to NAMM.
Right. Yeah. I don't film camera shows and servers. You know, I guess. In a home lab sense, I'm interested, but in a data center sense, I'm really not.
No.
And I don't want to be part of that apparatus. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
It's just really, I chose quite the year to come back. I mean, when I made the decision to come,
I thought
had not
that.
Gotten to this point yet.
When you texted me and you're like, I'm going to Computex, I was like, this year?
Well, you know, if I have a lot of reason not to come back next year, people will understand. Like, to your point earlier, how many of them might still be around to even show anything here? Not even because they're squeezed out, because they're literally out of business.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen for some of these companies.
A little side note here, you know, I ran into Andrew Ha, EVGA CEO. EVGA is still kicking. The Southern California location is still open. The headquarters here is still open. And I have no idea what they're up to, but it's...
My understanding from him was that they wanted to keep it, and this is huge credit to them, but they wanted to keep it operational through the period where people who bought 10-year warranties would be covered.
Yeah.
And when I was like, that's awesome, because you have no obligation to do that. Like, if you're out of business, you know.
I'm just wondering, though, but.
The 10-year warranty on GPU side?
I'm not sure which part.
Because I know they had the 10-year on PSU.
PSU, yeah.
But I think the GPU, the highest they ever had was 5.
Yeah,
and
I'm not sure.
That's
on the
next
GPU.
Year.
Right.
So.
They do still have their repair center. The guy, Nick Yang, we filmed previously, he's still working there. He's awesome.
Yeah.
So I
That'd
think.
Probably be anything under RMA now, GPU-wise, probably is going in for repair rather than a RMA replacement.
There's no way they have replacements.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah. But they'll be formally out soon, I think. I mean, they've been winding down for years now. You know, like it's not a secret that they don't really.
No, he was, when we were in that same meeting, he was very transparent that was the plan.
Yeah.
You know, just let it slowly kind of
fade
away. And that's how a lot of those businesses operate. When they're ready to shut down, they don't just shut her up. They just slowly disappear. Like literally
still,
the Homer Simpson meme.
I still respect the decision because he 100% he could have sold EVGA to someone.
Oh yeah.
And made, I'm sure, tens or hundreds of millions.
It would not have remained the same EVGA that he built.
That's what he told us, right? Yeah. And
knowing what the industry's like now.
Yeah.
It's almost like foreshadowing back then, like, oh, yeah, he was...
He called it.
He did.
He knew 5 years before a lot of people.
Yep.
And
he said himself, you know, he's like, Jensen's not the same Jensen he knew.
And he also told us how NVIDIA was starting to compete with them too much on the board designs and on the cooler designs, and how they could, NVIDIA could undercut the partners because NVIDIA doesn't have to pay the same amount for
the silicon. they have to reduce their, you know, MSRPs to the point to where a slim margin product like that is slimmer. They're not making any money.
They're competing with their supplier, right?
Which is something I don't know if you remember, but when we were at the 10 series launch in Austin, right? I said then when they announced the founders, I went, so what does this mean for their partners? Like, is this, and they said then it was just a limited product, right? It would only be at the launch period and then it would disappear.
And
but
it was
then,
like a $100 difference.
Right, it was $100 cheaper for the FE. And we went, okay, so they're literally undercutting their own partners. I remember
I don't remember if it was cheaper or more expensive, but
I thought it was $100 cheaper.
I don't remember anymore. The only thing I remember is I asked them.
2016 literally seems like it is a decade ago, but a lifetime ago.
No, Jay. It was just a few years ago. That wasn't a decade ago.
It feels like 2 years ago, but still.
But yeah, I mean, I don't remember if it was cheaper or expensive, but I do remember that was like this is interesting. You know,
I think you're right. I think you're right. Because then when 20 series launched and it was the same MSRP, I think that was when we were like,
okay. They eventually hit the same MSRP.
I think you're right. It was $100 more for like the 80 and like 50 more for the 70.
Something like that.
Yeah. And then the 20 series in Cologne was.
They eventually came down with. Like,
and that's
30.
When we realized, like, okay, this is a big middle finger to the board partners.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But no, EVJ called it.
Well, I what I wouldn't give for that era to be back, you know.
We'll see where it goes. It's for me, it's just we keep trying to provide the best sort of public service we can, you know, and adapt to the industry. None of us are big enough to change the industry in a meaningful way. So
it's
just keep people informed and help them.
Because when Jensen was saying there is no smuggling, I was like, well, clearly the expose didn't make its way to his desk, you know. Or if it did, he's just really good at being a politician now.
I'm pretty sure it got there, from what I understand.
All right. Well, that's why it would have been great for you two to bump into each other on the show floor.
Maybe 1 year.
No, you would have been escorted out before he...
Possibly. Yeah, who knows? I mean... There's things, I guess we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this video has gone on long enough. Thanks for chatting with me this year. Like I said, I don't know if I'll be back next year. CES for sure. It's too local for me not to. But it'll be interesting to see where we go from here. And I'm going to definitely be keeping my eyes out for what post-show industry looks like, because I think a lot of these companies are just, okay, we'll commit to Computex and then might just close up after that.
All right.
I think some of that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so.
It's scary. So.
All right, Steve, thanks for chatting with me today.
Thank you, absolutely.
All right, well, remember guys, Steve's not suicidal.
Oh, no. This is pretty high up.
Yeah, let's go this way.
Does that have to be cut?